Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world what it used to be.
Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Tell me now.
Won't you tell me now?
Fire!
need a color. Everybody,
we need each other.
Wake up, everybody.
No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead. Wake up all your teachers. Start to teach a new way. They're the ones that suffer each and every day. Teach the children.
Teach the baby.
Teach the babies.
Teach the children.
Teach the children.
Teach the baby.
Teach the children.
Amen, amen, amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for this awesome and this wonderful evening. Always grateful, always thankful to be here with each and every one of you each and every Monday night. Grateful and thankful that God has given us an opportunity to be able to be a blessing to you on this evening. And we just pray that God allow you an opportunity to be able to share through transparency. And I thank God as always for giving us the ability to speak into your life. My name is Tammy Storr, and I will be joined by Minister Jesse Storr shortly. Grateful and thankful to have him still yet being able to minister, knowing he hasn't been in the best of health this week, and just praying that God continue to order his steps and heal his body in such a mighty way. As always, we want to just thank you for your presence tonight. Thank you once again for being here with us and allowing us an opportunity to impart into your lives. I just want to thank God as always for giving us the ability to come before his throne of mercy, to be able to usher in the Holy Spirit and do what we have to do to be a willing vessel unto him to share his good news with all that we come in contact with. So most gracious and most heavenly Father, I just want to personally say thank you. Thank you for another day, another opportunity for us to be able to declare and decree your word, for us to be able to understand and know, Father God, what it is to be able to be willing servants unto you to go and spread your good news to all that we come in contact with. Thanking you on today, Lord God, that you will continue to help us be able to recognize, know, and understand what it truly means when we talk about oneness is about faithfulness. How faithful have we been to one another? How faithful have we been in the communication area of our lives? How faithful have we been as it relates to understanding the importance of being able to love on one another in the manner in which you generated this thing called marriage? And I thank you, Lord God, for the oneness that you created into each and every individual that's under the sound of my voice, and maybe others that may not be married yet, but engaged and ready to be married. Might be others, Lord God, that have come and don't even have someone, Father God, in mind that they want to be their perfect soulmate that you've sent their way. But because they understand and know that studying to show yourself approved is so important, that you will give them this opportunity to be able to share through transparency and be able, Lord God, to study your word on how they can be the best spouse on this side of heaven. I just say thank you right now, Lord God, for your grace, for your mercy, and for all that you continue to show and be in the midst of everything we say, do, and touch. I pray on this day, Lord God, that you would go and be with every marriage, Lord God, that's under the sound of my voice, and those that may not even be under the sound of my voice, but those that we know are in need of, Father God, your divine intervention. I know sometimes we stray away and we have challenges here and there, but there's nothing too difficult or too hard for you, Lord God. And so we just pray that you give individuals the ability to be able to focus on you and focus on a relationship that you strategically put together. And I'm just asking, Lord God, that you help us all have a better understanding of the things that we are to do and things that we should not do to be the best spouse on this side of heaven. As always, I want to say thank you, Lord, for giving me the ability and the opportunity to learn and grow and go forward and understand and know the things that you called us to do for such a time as this. Let us be the best individual on this side of heaven. that we can possibly be. I just want to say thank you, Lord God, for giving me an opportunity to be able, Father God, to be a soulmate to an awesome man of God that I know, Lord God, you've gifted him, you've blessed him, you've given him an opportunity to be able to understand relationships and understand, Lord God, through your word what it is and how he should, Lord God, help, Father God, dissect this word for others to understand. So as we speak about tonight, one is about faithfulness. I just want to say thank you, Lord God, for giving us the ability to share through transparency. And thank you for everybody under the sound of my voice that might have a question tonight, that might want to share through transparency on how they deal with being faithful. And I pray tonight, Lord God, that you will allow them to press 1 on their phone and be able to be placed in the host queue. And then at the appropriate time, Father God, I thank you that Minister Jesse will be able to have the opportunity to let them come in and speak, and we'll be able, Father, to assist them with any questions or concerns that they may have. So, Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence with us tonight. Be our mouthpiece. Allow us to go forward and do some great things. And I just want to say thank you for another great day, another great week that we're all embarking on. Just be, Father God, there to order our steps and let us have a willing spirit to walk, Father God, in the footsteps and where you would have us to go. Go and be with us. Let us understand that wonderful word that I speak about every week. No difference today when I speak about forgiveness. We've got to understand what that word means, not only to ourselves as an individual, but to relationships that we're involved in. And so I just thank you on tonight that we all have a better understanding of not only asking for forgiveness, but when someone asks for forgiveness from us, that we're ready to receive. So go and be with us until we see you face to face. Thank you once again for everybody under the sound of our voice that's here, ready to learn and grow and take their relationship to the next level. Let them not keep what they learned tonight to themselves, but let them be able, Lord God, to be able to go forward and share it with others, Father God, through transparency so others can learn and grow as well. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray, amen, amen, and amen to the glory of God.
Well, let everybody say amen one more time. We thank God and praise God for his grace and his mercy, which endures forever. Thank God for my queen, my best friend, workout partner when I'm working out, doing all of the things that we do and co-laboring in the vineyard, giving the Father all the glory, honor, and all of the praise. Oneness is about faithfulness. I think most of us who had any level of exposure to church, as they say, all have heard faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that has so many applications. Yet the area where it seems least applied is in this area of marriage. And see, for that reason, faith is probably the most least understood reality that we enable or disable at will and sometimes unknowingly each and every day. See, unless you had an opportunity to sit down and speak with an elder, someone that was around maybe 80, 90, 100 years ago, and all of the modern conveniences that we take for granted, that we don't even think about. We just think they're part of our life and the privilege that we have. So many of them didn't have that same kind of reality. They had to have we get up, you have faith when you turn on the light switch. You have faith that when you go in to get a drink of water, there's going to be water coming out of the tap that you'll be able to drink. You have faith that you go out and if you happen to be commuting to work or whatever, that your car is going to start. You have faith in all of the mundane daily things that you do every day based on the fact that over the course of time, it no longer was something that you did not see. You could see it. You could see the light when it's turned on. You could see the destination when you get in the car. You could see the water, you can see that it's clear. Yeah, little do we know, even in something like water coming from a tap in a home in America, it could be filled by the time it gets out with all kinds of contaminants, so much so that most Americans won't just drink their water out of that tap. Why? Because they have lost faith in that water. They've lost faith in the system that brings the water to over 99% of homes in America, probably the highest percentage of homes connected to central water systems in the world. Yet, you have faith that when you turn it on, you're going to get something out of it. Even if you use a filtration device or filtration system or whatever you may use, you have faith that the water is going to turn on. But over the course of these years and the course of the contamination that's taken place in many of the waterways in America and around the world, you have to filter it some kind of way. You don't have the same faith because the water smells different. You can sometimes smell the chlorine that's been used to get rid of some of the ugly stuff that's in the water, that's picked up in the water delivery system from the central water plant to your destination. And then what's so cold about that, if you have that water coming into your home that may smell different than it did 30, 40, 50 years ago, if you want to improve it, then you have to improve it at the tap or at the point of entry into your home because it's on your side of the water line. Now, some may say, what has all that got to do with oneness is about faithfulness? Because it is. Everything about what we do is about faithfulness. It's about the ability to see that which is not there. What is more faithful or what requires more faith than for you to take vows with someone that you love? But now you're taking it to another level. You're taking it to another step. And you're saying, I love you so much that I'm willing to make these kind of vows to you. I'm willing to say until death do us part. I'm willing to do this. And then have the necessary vision to go along with that faith. See, what's going on in our world today is that our faith has begun to be built up in other things. Instead of our faith being built up in those things that God associated with a blessing, they built up in something else. It was God who created the concept of marriage, the Most High himself. He said it wasn't good that you be by your lonesome, my brothers. It wasn't good that you be by your lonesome, my sisters. So he said, I'm going to give you a helpmeet. I'm going to hook you up with somebody that can walk right side by side and you all could be lockstep. You can make sure you handle your business together most effectively. And on top of that, I'm going to bless you with a process that will allow you to procreate, that you will be able to be a creator yourself, that I'm going to bring together a man and a man with a seed and a woman with the most fertile garden the world has ever known. And when I bring them together, they will be procreators. They'll be able to see why it's such a beautiful thing to create that oneness and to then to see the family that begins to come after that beautiful relationship. But it's so misunderstood. We now have become so used to, we're the microwave generation. We're so expect technology to do everything. And we, most of the time now, we don't even go through the process of having to have a faith perspective or a faith process, because we just expect that we're going to do something that is going to work, that is going to be all right. But see, what we've got to be able to understand, you can't look at relationships the same way. Relationships still require the development of all of the things necessary to create faith in another human being. Because if you can't get to the point to where you create faith in another human being, and that human being creates faith or does not create faith in you, then how are you going to have a sustained marriage without that kind of commitment from both? Our relationship with others, and especially with our spouse, is predicated on the realities we experience with those who come before in the flesh in addition to our spiritual connections. See, sometimes we are learning more about faith and how faith affects us, and sometimes when we don't even realize it, we don't even understand it. When something may come up, some thought, some ideal, and you scratch your head and wonder, where did that come from? Perhaps you had a great-great-great-grandparent. Could have been a grandfather or grandmother, could have been both. But they were praying for you. They were praying for their great-great-great-grandchildren. They were praying for their great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren that their lives would be better, that they wouldn't have to deal with what they dealt with. And guess what? We're in that time that by their faith in praying those prayers where we see the physical manifestation where so many are living better than they had in the past. Yet even though that's a true statement, the institution of marriage for our people has not been able to sustain itself because we became more faithful in those material things and less faithful in those things between each other. We got to do better than that. The confidence in the substance of things hoped for when the evidence is not readily apparent. So you just had a debate. You had a disagreement. You had a fallout. You didn't see something in the right way. But is it more powerful than the vision you have? The vision that when you came together, that you were going to create this type of family, this type of laboratory of life that would nurture, that would grow, that would have your offspring become all that God himself purposed them to be. That you know that you were a conduit, that you were part of God's process that would enable and give to the world another human being. And yet you get into disagreement, you get into disfavor, and you forget about also that great responsibility because now you begin to lose faith in each other. And Tammy, you know, there are a lot of relationships we deal with in our lives. And there are some of our natural relationships that we experience where faith is there. And sometimes faith, even in those natural relationships within the family, sometimes we just take them for granted. But why is it that sometimes we experience where faith is just taken for granted? That someone has been so supportive, they've been building everything they could to be in support of you. But for whatever reason, you begin to lose focus. And see, when you lose focus, it's just like wearing some glasses, or it's just like when you've had on one of these masks and you wear glasses and all of a sudden your glasses begin to fog up. They begin to get foggy. And when they get foggy, you can't really see. And see, that's what takes place when all of a sudden we lose our focus and we lose track of the vision, because the vision is what's going to sustain us until death do us part, until God bless us with children, until God bless us with grandchildren, until great-grandchildren, and God bless us to live 120 years. What level of faith? How far out do we want to believe God? How many experiences have we gone through where we know that we would not have been able to see it through without the faith in God and without God making available to us the greatest thing we could ever experience? We're going to take a pause for a moment, go to the phone, and we just want to ask our callers to be brief. We're going to open up the phone line, 540-0093. The mic is open. 540-0093. The mic is open. All right. We're going to close that back down. Maybe the person was not ready. 545-4-0093. you're driving, and I unmuted your mic. Don't know, maybe something else was going on. So if you would hit one again, take your hand out of the queue. If you hit one again, I'll come back to you later. But faithfulness, that's what oneness is all about. Almost any relationship you can imagine, in order for it to sustain itself long term, there must be, there had to be a development of faithfulness. It had to be. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Somebody asked the question, then how do you be faithful? You got to agree to learn how to trust each other. Those vows, in order for them to mean something, you also got to understand that you're no longer a single person. You now have become a couple. And although you are two, you have become one. And you have to be sensitive to the fact that what may be painful for the spouse, it may not be painful for you now. But at some point, it could indeed become painful because you begin to understand and you begin to appreciate spouses going through and what they may be experiencing in the flesh. So we encourage you to make sure that you also give enough freedom, give enough rope. Don't put your spouse on such a short leash that they feel uncomfortable and they feel like if they would do anything or say anything or go any place and you are not with them, that you wouldn't trust them. The number one thing that could indeed make faith more difficult to achieve is having one spouse believe that something is going on with the other. We're going to take a short pause and come back and continue our conversation. Oneness is about faithfulness. And too often, we perhaps have forgotten just how far we've come by faith. And that everything is based on coming to the point where you can believe that God's hand is unchanging, where you can know and understand that through it all, God has always been there. Through it all, he's been believing and he's been saying that you can do all things. We'll be right back after this short break.
Just wanna be with you. Can you feel it? What's best for you? Baby, for me.
Amen, amen, Jesse. To God be the glory for this wonderful topic tonight. I can't imagine to operate anything without having faith. And then when we think about tonight and when we think about in this actual topic that we're speaking of, oneness is about faithfulness. Without faith, it's impossible to please our spouse. It's impossible to please God. But so we got to understand that, because we understand that faith speaks the language of the heart. And when we realize that and we understand that, it gives us an opportunity that when we look at faith, it is a true expression of hope that goes beyond the conscious mind. And how many of us know that if we still have hope and we funnel that with faith, we can go out here and conquer whatever it is that we desire as spouses? But it has to start with us. We have to have an understanding how we incorporate this in our lives. Because we can't just say we operate in faith and there's no action. Faith without works is dead. So we have to put some action forward when we speak about this wonderful thing called faithfulness. And when I think about it, Jesse, there are a couple of things that I would like to just highlight, that as we experience different things in our relationship, there are certain things that we should definitely incorporate and respect as it relates faithfulness. One thing would be to honor and respect your spouse. Honor and respect your future spouse. Honor and respect yourself so that you know what to do when God blesses you with that perfect soulmate. Make sure that you do your part to never date for wrong reasons, because how many of us know that sometimes we decide to be with people for all the wrong reasons? So many of you have heard Jesse's story when he first met me, and that was many, many years ago in my youthful stage, and I'll still claim it that I'm still youthful in my own way, but I know that as age continues to pile on me, I continue to welcome it, and I continue to be the best me that I can be during this stage in my life. Have I grown over the last almost 26 years that we've been married? Absolutely. Have you grown, Jesse? Absolutely. And we've done that because of the faith that I know we both operate in. And so when I think about, did we marry each other for the wrong reasons? Absolutely not. But it is, in my opinion, it is nice to know that when I first met you, that when I looked at you, you were very pleasing to the eyes. And I know that that's one of the things that you spoke about when you first met me, as you saw me walking. I will say that most of us somewhat become attractive when we first meet someone, but that should not be the reason that you marry them. So you want to make sure that you are not marrying someone based on that outer appearance, but instead look deep down in them. Once you get to know them and have that first date and second date and third date and so on, will you learn a little bit more about the soulmate that God has designed for you, to make sure that you're going into this relationship for all the right reasons and not the wrong reasons. The other thing, Jesse, that I think if we have just a little bit of understanding about is we got to build trust and honesty with our future partner or our spouse. And we got to understand the importance of making sure that that does not get built for your just during your dating stages of your relationship, but that continues to grow and continues to be built throughout your entire relationship, no matter how long God allows you to be together till death do you part. That should be something ongoing. And then the other thing, Jesse, I think as we think about faithfulness, if we are able to stay connected through open communication, don't talk just to be talking. Make sure that as you send your words out, as you are communicating, I know scripture tells us, be quick to listen and slow to speak. So many of us desire to speak and hear ourselves talking versus listening. So let's just try to change up slightly if we can. And let's be one that is more slow to speak and quick to listen so that we can learn as much about our spouse as we possibly can. And you really never stop learning about your spouse because your spouse may go through different phases and changes in their life. And if they're going through it, it forces you to go through it and learn and be there to support them as they're going through, whichever one may be. And then last but not least, one other thing that I will do and say that it really will help in this faith walk is making sure that you show your partner unconditional love and support to one another. And I cannot express that enough of how important it is to embrace your spouse's, you know, opportunities as going out and whether they are a professional and working in, you know, as an employee or they're an entrepreneur, whatever it is that they're doing at that present moment, do your part as a spouse to support them. If we incorporate just a couple of these things, Jesse, I really believe with all of my heart that we will see some powerful couples going forward and doing as God has created them to do, and that is to leave their mother and father and cleave with their spouse and live happily ever after. And I'm just only hoping, praying, and believing that those of you that are under the sound of our voice, you are allowing yourself the opportunity to incorporate some of these things. One of the things that, Jesse, I sometimes get a little, you know, questionable about is why is it difficult to establish faith with another human at the personal satisfaction level? I mean, there are times when I know that we feel, think, and believe that we're doing just that and we are doing our part to satisfy or establish faith with one another as human beings, but then there are other times when we fall short. So I would just like if you can just help us out a little bit. Why is it difficult to establish faith with another human at the personal satisfaction level? Can you help us out just a little bit on that as it relates to faith, Jesse?
Well, powerful, powerful question. And it has a complicated response, I do believe. In general, it's two responses to that. I'm going to say one is the generic response, which you would hear if we had a generic experience in America. But we haven't had a generic experience in America. We've had an experience in America where we are the descendants of former American slaves. And part of our problems, even in marriage, is the fact that we have imitated too often and too long what the white male did and how the white male operated. And if I could just refresh your memory just for a moment, the white male, and it wasn't every white male, but those white males who had the capacity to rape and to sodomize our men and women back in the day, unleashed some spirits into the genetic DNA spiritually of our ancestors that still hold us back today. There's a book that speaks about post-traumatic slavery disorder. And part of that is about how we yet even now find it difficult to trust each other based on the effectiveness of this anti-faith and anti-trust that was instilled in us historically. We've all heard about the field Negro, the house Negro, and we sometimes laugh at it, but it's still here today. We also know how some, you know, from, we're blessed to be for every color you can imagine, the lightest to the darkest, yet we allow ourselves to create stratified layers that separate us when we allow our minds sometimes to imagine and to go places that cause us to be continually, mentally, spiritually separated. There are so many other groups that come here to America, but they came here by design, by their own desire. That wasn't our path. And so to get down to having faith in that person, that other person at that very personal level, we got to get to know them. And we've got to get to know them deeply. And sometimes in my research and experience with others, I find that we sometimes, when we come together as man and woman, potentially even when we say we're looking for a spouse, we're not true with each other. We don't tell the truth to each other. And I heard something today that I think is still great advice, where it said, why don't you make sure that if you're a boy or a man, you have a woman as a friend, strictly a friend, where there are no friends' benefits. And if you're a woman, find a man, a boy that could be a friend, strictly a friend with no friends' benefits, somebody you can ask every question, that you can share openly and begin to learn more about the opposite sex without it being sexual. And I listened to that, and I said, that's very powerful. Because what they were saying was, in that activity, you know, you'll be able then to ask questions of someone that you perhaps wouldn't have asked before. Perhaps when you begin to do this, you begin to get faith not only in them but in you, because that's the other part of the equation. Oftentimes, the reason why we can't have faith in somebody else is because we have very little faith in ourselves. We have a ability as a people to self-condemn more so than necessary. Although we say we serve a God, we say there is no condemnation in Christ. See, we do those things unseemingly, but we allow sin to so easily beset us, instead of understanding that I've got to be delivered. So what's the answer? You got to be delivered. We chatted a little bit with a young sister even tonight about deliverance, about this, what we all got to go through, a process of being delivered, because we've all been abused and we all are dysfunctional. So once we can get to that point of understanding that, so we can be open and honest, have honest conversation, we can learn to trust each other. And when we learn to trust each other, we can learn to have faith in each other. And see, we must be willing to really make that happen. We got to be willing to go through relationships sometimes to where you may get your feelings hurt, but that's okay. See, I'm going to say this. We have to look at some of those things that cause us not to have faith in the first place. You know, most of the times we hear about couples, at least in the past, they will be being divorced because of infidelity. They were being divorced because of financial instability. You know, most of the time, everybody wanted to blame it on sex and money. But see, that's not really the real reason oftentimes. Oftentimes, that's a symptom of something else that caused that person to go and do that, that caused that person to want to put their marriage at jeopardy. So I guess, Sammy, also, if you could quickly respond, I don't know if that fully would answer that question. But I want you maybe to think yourself, you know, what strategies, you know, if you think about those things that cause disconnect, the adultery, the financial disconnection, discombobulated vision of marriage. Somebody said, what does that mean, discombobulated vision of marriage? It means that partners didn't come into the marriage with a long-term view. They didn't come in there with the idea until death do us part. They came in there and said, I've heard them say this, until they find something or identify something in the spouse that will cause them reason then to focus on that limitation or that dysfunction, and then that will be used in their mind to build up a case why they shouldn't be married to this person, because now that person is not perfect. Crazy thinking. Makes no sense. And the other piece that we see, if they had children, different perspectives on how to rear and how to raise children. And last but not least, where they have failing spiritual realities, where maybe one has a connection or has a belief, has a relationship with the Most High, and one does not. In some kind of way, they still have to come to an understanding. I'm not going to condemn you if you believe, and don't condemn me if I'm not where you are yet? No, I know some will say, hey, you got to be equally yoked and all of that. But let me tell you, even though people say they are equally yoked and all of that, I've seen it happen too many times where they don't have faith in each other. They stay married sometimes 20 years, sometimes 30. They don't have faith in each other. We're talking about real faith. We're talking about real faith, that faith where you give up your life, you know, for your spouse. We're talking about that faith where, you know, one spouse needs something and the other spouse could do it. If there's a body part, if there, whatever it may be, you know, that person, that spouse would do it because they know and understand that true oneness is about faithfulness and about you know and understand that if you have the capability, you will do everything you can to sustain your spouse. I got to digress just for one moment, Tammy, then I'm going to turn it back over to you. Again, every time when we get into this kind of conversation, I just cannot help but think about, you know, our brother-in-law. You know, I just can't. You know, what Donnie does and what he labors to do is just another example of a oneness. Is about faithfulness, being faithful to do what God called a man to do in marriage or a woman in marriage. You just can't get beyond it. It's just that deep. It's that profound. And so our hope is that you see it being that same way. If you don't have faith in the vision, to death do us part, it doesn't matter. If instead you're like, hey, we're going to be tight, we're going to be cool until you do something that I don't like, then don't waste your time. Because you're going to have opportunity to be in disagreement. I bet you that. But, Tammy, to close up, I'm going to ask you, though, to give us some final comments. And, you know, then if you feel so led, you know, you can ask me something. But we don't have a lot of time. But I want to ask you as we prepare to close on this particular about oneness is about faithfulness. Now, what is it? What actions can spouses take to reinforce, to reestablish, to reclaim, to regain, to initiate? What can they do as an action plan to go and make sure they're on the right path and making sure that their oneness is about faithfulness?
Well, Jesse, I think there are several things that we can do, spouse. And I think once we take ownership, meaning once we believe we have the ability to be able to understand what faith is and what it means to be faithful to one another. And when I sum it up, the one thing that I will like to speak about is Hebrews 10:23, Jesse, where it tells us, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. You know, we keep coming back to this wonderful thing called hope, because when we have hope, it gives us the ability to operate in faith as well. So it tells us, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. No wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You just said it so plain, Jesse. We got to look at this in a long-term view. We got to understand that faith in this vision is till death do us part in marriage. And if we're not there, then we have some more learning and growing to do. One of the things that I think is key that we definitely should do to be able to understand and know what a strategy that we can put together, an action plan we could put together, the first thing is do your part to understand and know that your spouse is not perfect. So there's going to be so many opportunities for you to grab a hold of your spouse's hand and pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray morning, noon, and night. Do not be troubled about things going on around you, but instead have faith to know that you will be able to overcome. So do your part to pray continually about your marriage with your spouse. Pray with them in your presence, out of your presence. Just pray. The other thing that I think is very key and very important, Jesse, is to make sure that we continue to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ together, whether it be through a study at home with your spouse, whether it be that you go into a church house and you're serving together and you're worshiping together. Just make sure that you're incorporating that into your everyday life. And then I would also encourage our listening audience is learn how to communicate effectively. You know, we communicate, but we want to take it to another level, another way that I know that it would give us an opportunity to have an action in place, action plan in place, will be, let's see, what do we need to do to communicate even better? Because how many of us know that communication can get so screwed up that you may be thinking one thing and your spouse is thinking something totally opposite? Ask more open-ended questions to get a better understanding. Do your part to make sure that you're giving God enough room to work in and through the marriage that he has put together to allow you to operate in this thing called faith and being able to declare and decree that till death do you part, you're going to work through any difficulties, any challenges that you may have. And then last but not least, Jesse, just for the sake of time, one of the other things that I want to just remind us, and I keep saying some of these things over and over because these are the things that we really need to do to help build the faith as it relates to this particular topic and as it relates to what are we expecting, what are we looking to do as it relates to oneness is about faithfulness. What are you as an individual are willing to do? One of the things that I would encourage you to do is to make sure you continue to build the trust that you want to go forward in your relationship. And it's just not a one-time thing. When you're building trust, it's ongoing. And so I hope and pray that you get an opportunity to do just that. I am so grateful and thankful that we have an opportunity to speak about faithfulness today. I thank God that we understand that in John 14:1, as we put it all together where it says, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And if you allow yourself to gather and understand and believe in God's word is what's going to help you remain faithful. It's what's going to help you get through all of those challenges that try to come and distract you, because that's all it is. It's a distraction. You got human beings of the opposite sex that's going to come in and try to bring havoc upon your relationship. You got children that may be out there doing things that may cause havoc upon your relationship. There may be situations in the workplace. There may be physical challenges within your body that will cause havoc on your marital relationship. It's up to us as an individual to put the pieces together, to determine what to say, when to say, what not to say, and be true to yourself and believe that through your faithfulness that you have the ability to make sure that you are able to allow the relationship that God has strategically placed you in, that you have the ability to stay firm to it and understand and know that a faithful man is with blessings. He's rich in these blessings. But one who is eager to be rich will be not unpunished, will go unpunished, not go unpunished. And so we got to understand and know that there is a condition. So even with our faithfulness, we got to understand and know that there comes blessings with it. But when we know we're not doing what we need to do to be faithful, then there's also some challenges that have come along with it. Do your part, listening audience, to make sure that you are putting in place, in position, the things that you need to do to make sure you operate in this thing as it relates to oneness and as we understand that it's all about faithfulness. We know, we believe, we will continue to pray that no matter what it looks like today, have enough faith, believing it's not what of the evidence of the things you're seeing right now at this moment today, but it's the evidence of things unseen that makes a difference. God bless you all. I hope and pray that this has blessed you and that you will continue to be blessed to do what you've been called to do, and that is to be the best spouse on this side of heaven. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, thank you for this awesome topic tonight. I know this hour goes so fast, and we know, Lord, that you, Father, have brought us here just to drop a few nuggets into the spirits of those under the sound of our voice. We pray that they take what they receive today. They go and they dissect what they know that they need to work on a little bit in their relationship, that they will continue to study to show themselves approved. They will continue to go out and be the best spouse or best spouse to be that they can be on this side of heaven. Holy Spirit, go and be with us all. Lead, guide, and direct us until we all get an opportunity to see you face to face. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen to the glory.
Agape love.